Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Yes. Greetings and welcome to the Jewel Network. The Jewel Network is a radio frequency of continuous streaming knowledge and wisdom, which promotes and sustains the activation of the present evolutionary process of immortality and the unfolding of the God Self within the evolving planetary society presently on planet Earth. The Jewel Network is committed to teaching the sciences of life and the science of living. By cultivating the mind of a scientist, you will be able to extract the very best the current century has to offer. You are listening to the Melanology Hour with your host, microbiologist, preventative medicine and hygiene physician, Dr. Jewel Pilgrim, MD, and biomedical researcher, physiological psychologist, and professor, Dr. Timothy Owens Moore. Join them each Wednesday at 7 p.m. on the Jewel Network, hosted by thejewelnetwork.net.
Welcome, everyone. This is our Melanology Hour, and this is one of the most exquisite shows of the Jewel Network. I'm your host, Dr. Jewel, and, of course, our co-host is here, Dr. Tim Owens Moore, and we are very, very excited today because
Greetings.
Hi, Dr. Moore. So we have a wonderful guest with us today, and I want to thank Dr. Moore for being very persistent and making sure that I became aware of this gentleman's work. And we are just so excited, Dr. Moore and myself, to host with us Dr. Edwin Bruce Bynum. And he's just a wonderful person. So before he comes on, though, I just want to give you a little bit of information. I'm covered with notes. I'm sure you know that, Dr. Moore. And I just want to make you and he are really good friends, and I just want to make sure I get this really clear because I'm really honored here to host him. So Dr. Edwin Bruce Bynum, and I'm sure he has an endeared name, is a clinical psychologist and director of behavioral medicine at the University of Massachusetts Health Services in Elmhurst. He also is very special, and this is why this is just such a dynamic individual, because he has been able to move to the higher dimensions of understanding the physiology of melanin. And because of his advanced awareness in multiple dimensions, he obviously is a student of Swami Chandrasekharanan Saraswati, has gained much recognition in the psychological spiritual modalities of neurosciences as well as melanin. He's a winner of the Abraham H. Maslow Award for the American Psychological Association, and he's written several books, and two that I'm looking at here, The African Unconscious, Incredible Roots of African Mysticism and Modern Psychology, and I think most recent book, Dark Light Consciousness, Melanin, Serpent Power, and the Luminous Matrix of Reality. So definitely I want to welcome my special guest, Dr. Edwin Bruce Bynum, and with co-host, Dr. T. Owens Moore, please prepare yourself for a fabulous discussion. So please get your pads and pencils and make sure that you are saturated with the universal solvent, which is water. And when we come back after this message, get ready for an incredible show. And again, thank you so much, Dr. Bynum, for being here with us. We'll be right back after this message. Okay. Well, Dr. Moore, how
are you? I'm doing quite well. Everything's going well on my end.
Oh, well, wonderful. Okay. Well, things are quiet down there in North Carolina.
In the wilderness, yes. It's very, very quiet, which means it's too quiet, which means we can't be talking about revolutionary experience if it's too quiet. So I'm happy to be on the Melon Hour of the Hour with you and our excited guests so we can change the world's view of how we look at science and technology.
Oh, well, I'm really excited. Well, I'm glad that it's quiet down there because, you know, there's just this whirlwind of activity, intense activity. I just call it chaos that is slowly descending upon planet Earth. So everybody get ready. I've been telling everyone how wonderful it is for those people who have fortified and upgraded their nervous system as to how this is really an exciting time for us, you know, with the Earth changes, polar shifts and sun change positions and our movement into the Van Allen belt, deep into our solar system and all these other things going on. It is an incredible time for those individuals who have done the study and the work to create an indestructible nervous system. And so Dr. Bynum's work is right on time with all the wonderful writings that he's done. So he's on his way here, as I understand. So I thought it was very interesting, and maybe you want to share this with us. You know, and I really, again, appreciate Dr. Moore for really insisting that I read the book, African Unconsciousness. And I don't know if you knew this, but in the pages, there was this wonderful, very endearing letter that Dr. Bynum wrote to you with, you know, he's really so excited about the fact that you finally finished the book and that you had really supported him intensely in really doing this. And that, you know, he was asking Dustin if you're okay on the neural melanin and the neural psychology, or psychoneurology, as he says, the chapter that he did, and he wanted you to just check that out. So I thought that was just very nice. So when the book comes back to you, definitely this letter will be in it. You should keep it as this really nice keepsake. I thought that was just really great and nice communication between colleagues. So in the meantime, what was your greatest revelation and appreciation for the first book that Dr. Bynum wrote, The African Unconscious?
Well, actually, he's written several books, and that's not even his first one. The one that I have signed by him, he wrote in 1984, called The Family Unconscious, An Invisible Bond. And I'd always had this, you know, thought in my mind about the spiritual connection and the karma that exists, and on a spiritual level with families, if you know notice sometimes if someone passed away in your family that same year cycle, someone is also born. Or if you say someone's born, someone may also pass. So there's some unconscious or invisible bond. So by hearing and seeing an African-oriented, an African-centered scholar discuss that, it was very exciting. And then he also wrote another book called Transcending Psychoneurotic Disturbances, New Approaches in Psychological Spirituality and Personality Development. So with me having, you know, my level of understanding about science and psychology and moving into the realm of melanin and then seeing and hearing a scholar who's a clinical psychologist discuss some of the issues from a different, not so much different perspective, but a different layer of knowledge. And then, of course, to put that together. So he then wrote his book, African Unconscious, and so I've written my books on the science of melanin, dark matter, dark secrets. And we then had an opportunity to collaborate on a book called Why Darkness Matters, The Power of Melanin in the Brain. So my contact with him has been extensive over the years. And, you know, as we are living now in different states, including yourself, you're there in Georgia, I'm here in North Carolina, he's up there in Massachusetts, but there's still a connection between those pushing similar knowledge. And that's why with the Melanology Hour, it's now an exciting time for us to have dialogue from different scholarly perspectives, but all discussing the same thing.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, you know, it's so interesting as I'm sitting here because I'm looking at this triad, literally, that, you know, this triad, this pyramid that we've created now, vocally at least, to do this show, and the different backgrounds that we come from, you being, you know, very scientifically laboratory-oriented, myself, you know, I'm looking at Dr. Bynum's book, Dark Light Consciousness, and I was fascinated and had so much reverence for the fact that he, a medical doctor like myself, has totally exposed his awareness of all of the spiritual studies and things to the extent that, you know, this book would appreciate. And having come through medical school, et cetera, done a residency, and obviously in his own spiritual quest to be all that he can be, the evolution of his brain has been able to see the direct connection where medicine in no way is literally imaging and progressing at the rate necessary for what really is the true destiny of an evolving human being. And for him to take the bull by the horns, as we would say, and begin to open that gateway that, yes, you know, we have blood and bones and nervous system, et cetera, but when we start dealing with the brain, there's a whole different aspect of it that really is created for dimensions that truly exist that are beyond what we've been willing to treat in the medical venue, and that if medicine is really going to service the 21st century, that these are the whole new dynamics that must be addressed and must be understood from a standard perspective and really taught. So as I started out in my medical career as a surgeon in the pelvis, of all places, where the Kundalini energy reservoir resides, and then working my way up literally through medicine, practicing family medicine and then alternative medicine, and then finally neurophysiology, and I really call myself now a neurotheologist, okay, and with the use of sacred geometry, have been able to help people really unravel what we call Gordian knots in the nervous system because of chronic trauma, and really be able to allow the neural nets of the brain to completely develop where these individuals can reach a higher state of consciousness because the brain now can interact with higher frequencies of thought fields. And so with all of us coming together, this is a really monumental event that literally is happening as we talk about the future of where science and medicine and research must go. And I think that it's really incredible that we have this documented in writing. So without further ado, everyone, I'd like for you to welcome Dr. Edward Bruce Bynum to the Jewel Network Neuronology Hour. And
hello. How are you doing?
I'm fabulous, and I'm just so elated and pleased that you have joined Dr. Moore and I to have this wonderful discussion this evening.
I'm very good this evening, and I've looked forward to this for quite some time. Both of you are heroes for me. Obviously, Dr. Moore's work and research has been pivotal in much of the work that I've done, and I've gone back to your book several times on vitamins and minerals from A to Z and found it extremely helpful. So I get an opportunity to talk with both of you on live radio. So I'm tickled.
Well, thank you. Well, you know, it's really interesting, and our loyal listeners have really done well in traveling with Dr. Moore and I as we expose them to the different dimensions of melanin. And one of the things that I'm doing right now, and I want to share this with both of you, is the fact that using sacred geometry to literally re-engineer the neural nets of the brain to the universal template for the nervous system. And I see that, Dr. Bynum, in your book, Dark Light, you literally go through the whole evolutional stage of the nervous system with diagram, et cetera, which is very interesting because the selected sacred geometrical templates that we use allow all of these circuits literally to come into unison, where the individual through specific disciplines can literally tap into the superior qualities that each one of these nervous systems of each lower organism that contributed to the human nervous system can literally be activated in the individual. For example, something so simple from the insectoid circuits of the brain, which are all in the allocortex, cortex, that individual can decide that I want to be able to lift 100 times my weight, which is a normal capability for the insect, especially the organized insects, and be able to elicit that. So it's interesting looking at your work and Dr. Moore's work as we speak on melanin, that again, this is one of the main substances, building blocks of life, transmitters of life that be addressed for all of these capabilities really to be living attributes for humanity. So I'm very interested to hear from you, Dr. Bynum, about how you were stimulated to begin to really talk about the psychological aspects of humanity and be able to directly connect that to melanin.
Well, in my own in my own work, my own research, I mean, I've been fascinated by this for a while, and I originally worked in the larger systems of families because I'm a regular therapist, so I did a lot of family therapy, but I came to it from a different perspective than most of my colleagues, given my ancestral and historical background. I was fortunate enough to be able to see it from a slightly different point of view, and that allowed me to bring in the genius of the African tradition, the West African tradition in particular, in terms of looking at the human family, not just the African family, but the entire human family, because the generation of the human family comes out of Africa. We all know that now, just as all human beings are variations of the African template.
No question.
Well, all families are a variation of the African template. And as you know, in West Africa, there's not just one level of family consciousness, the current level, but there are four others. There's our current level, who you're born with, who you live with, and so on and so forth. But there's also a level of family consciousness of the people who've just passed, as Dr. Moore was talking about. And they are what are referred to as, quote, the living dead, unquote. Not in some negative Hollywood scary movie sense, but in the sense of those who've entered a different level of consciousness. But they're still part of our familial consciousness. And then there's another level after that of those who've moved on beyond that who are now in the ancestral realm. And we have ancestral veneration, like most cultures of the earth, particularly in India and Asia. That's gone out of style too much in Europe and the western part of the world, but certainly in Africa and in many other parts of the world, that is primordial. And then we have the African tradition, those who've moved beyond even that, who've become part of the spiritual realm and fused, in a sense, with natural forces on earth, and we refer to those as the Orisha and the Loa and so forth. But there's also the other generation, that is one generation in the future, those who are not yet born, but whose spirits and souls are part of the loom of the familial system. So it includes our present, three levels of the past, and one generation in the future. And that's all part of that vast African unconscious loom and that familial unconscious. So I began studying that, and that naturally led me into a deeper exploration of the African unconscious, which is really the collective unconscious of all human beings, regardless of what they look like on the surface. And we explored that at some depth and range, for me anyway. And this most recent book that you mentioned, Dark Light Consciousness, is actually focusing more on the spiritual dimension, the actual spiritual, spiritual practice. It's based upon the structure of our nervous systems and the relationship our nervous systems have to melanin and neuromelanin. Is crucial because, as you pointed out, melanin absorbs light. It absorbs quanta. It absorbs photons, and it transduces them to other states and higher states of organization. And that is crucial in terms of what we have been doing it through evolution. Because as you point out in your work, and certainly Dr. Moore points out meticulously in his, is that as we move up the evolutionary ladder, at least on our planet of carbon-based life forms, the amount of neuromelanin and melanin in neuromelanin in the brain increases as we move up, such that of all the mammals, the ones with the highest level of concentration are the great apes. And of the great apes, the ones are the chimpanzees. And the only ones with more neuromelanin are human beings, Homo sapiens sapiens. So that's a pretty tight correlation. So there's an intimate relationship between our capacity as beings, as spiritual beings and physical beings, to absorb the light of the cosmos and integrate it, transduce it into higher forms. And so that's what the book Dark Light Consciousness makes as a study. And so I've been able to draw from many of the spiritual traditions, but particularly those of ancient Kemet and those of ancient Dravidian, that's Dravidian, not Aryan, Dravidian southern India, who had extensive trade and historical connections for thousands and thousands of years, way before the rise of the European civilizations. So that is what this book is, Dark Light Consciousness, is about, and our neurological and our psycho-spiritual and our evolutionary interaction with the spiritual energies of the cosmos and our capacity to engage, to be involved with them.
Well, you know, Dr. Bynum, this is an exquisite day for me because we have a branch of our brain re-engineering, brain balancing program that is devoted to the undertaking of understanding light. And so my conclusion from contributors like yourself and Dr. Moore is that light literally is the physical, or should I say melanin, is the physical biological state of the electromagnetic spectrum.
Go ahead.
So that when we are literally looking at pigments, we are literally looking at the electromagnetic spectrum in its most dense and physical state. So there's I see it as really no difference between the two, and to be able to understand its various dimensional levels of existence is very important to really understand then our capabilities of existing in full consciousness in all of these different frequencies, which I call, as you know, wavelengths of light.
Yes, and for me, you know, I'm very, my thought is it has a great affinity for yours, because for me, neuromelanin, the neuromelanin mesh in particular, in our nervous systems, internal spinal cord, brain stem, limbic system, cortex, neocortex is all a very highly evolved loom that absorbs light and it transduces it. And for me, neuromelanin is our closest, thinnest, most transparent sheath of our energy body. It is literally the energy body, the light body, the body that wraps us in the denser material physical body, and that probably exists prior to our physical development and certainly exists for some time after our physical death, because we know that there is, as Dr. Moore points out, in the very beginning of embryogenesis or our development in the mother's womb, it's guided by a neuromelanin-rich direct current that absorbs light and transduces it into more complex forms, out of which develops the neural tube, out of which develops all the different organ systems and so forth through embryogenesis, and out of which our consciousness intensifies until we become self-aware. And certainly, even after physical clinical death, including not only the heart stopping, but supposed flatline brain dead, there is still some degree of consciousness that exists after that, that has an affinity to the subtle neural melanin net. So this is our closest, most subtle sheath of the life force that we as luminous beings inhabit, at least in our adventure here on this earth.
Interject on that, because
it reminds me of your discussions on dark matter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just that issue of crystallization.
That
whole thing you talked about already, Dr. Jewel, about the sacred geometry. The geometry deals with forms and angles, and that's what a crystal is. And when you have an idea in your mind that crystallizes, it's like, wow, there it is. Here we are, this tripartite African-centered neo-theologist now on the radio discussing, and it's like it's all crystallizing. Because if you think about inside the brain, which is the power unit for all we know and all we do, in terms of sub and collective consciousness, and just how we operate on the planet, in the world, inside the brain are those four elements that make us connected to a higher state. Most people are on the lower state because they don't pay attention to it. So the work that we've all done is trying to get people to understand through self-awareness. You have biological elements that are almost self-replicating, and they take care of themselves. We're the ones that mess it up. You know, so through Dr. Byron's work, we deal with the issue of meditation and trying to seek that divine universal consciousness by meditating on that original, I guess, as I talk about in science, knowing the first big bang, the womb. You know, starts out as just a black dot, and boom, here we are today with this form of consciousness. So I just thought it was powerful how you all talked about this issue of crystallization, and how melanin inside the brain, without it, you do not have this occurrence. You see
That's
it
right.
on in I guess the physical abnormalities such as Parkinson's disease, an abnormality where, you know, the physical ailments, but those people also have dementia and other problems that occur as a result of a loss of. So I say, as we express the loss of, well, imagine if it was heightened and we moved it to another level, we'd be discussing things we are talking about tonight.
But we will eventually. I believe that is the trajectory of our evolution. I believe that, you know, as our species continues to evolve, that our brains will get literally more neuromelanin rich and darker, not only on the surface, which you point out, but also in strategic areas within the brain. The critical areas within the brain stem and critical areas within the four ventricles of the brain, where neuromelanin, I should say, is very dense and very rich. And through different meditative and spiritual practices, including dance of certain kinds, mm-hmm. these centers get into a resonant affinity or vibration with each other. Dr. Pukram, you talked earlier about sacred geometry. Our ancestors, thousands and thousands of years ago, when they were building some of the great architectural structures that we find at Abydos and other places, they built these in exacting alignment to resonate with certain parts of our nervous system.
Exactly.
They literally
exactly.
did. And entering into the right vibrational pattern, that one's consciousness was literally raised. You know, inside of the Great Pyramid, there are shafts that allow at a certain critical times starlight from certain specific constellations to come through. That is all a matter of tuning into, as Dr. Moore said, light and becoming more aware and self-aware and exclusively aware and becoming absorbed in that. In the Papyrus of Ani, or what's called the Egyptian Book of the Dead, they talk in clinical specific detail, about learning to merge one's own consciousness with the consciousness of the spirit beings, of spirit souls. There are chapters devoted to that process, and they are almost exactly the same as the Bardo Throdol or the Tibetan Book of the Dead, when they talk about identifying with the fundamental clear light. So our ancestors have known this for thousands of years, and we're just catching up, really. We've outstretched them on the physical plane in many ways. That's true. Not always, but in many ways, although we haven't surpassed the pyramids, that's for sure. But psychologically, we're kind of like kind of simple in comparison to where their adepts were.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that for me is part of our work and part of the genius and the gift of Africa to all of her children. All human beings are variations of Africa. This is not some sort of racist agenda we're talking about here. We're talking about the great gift of the African origin to all of her children, because we're all permutations of that ancient one of thousands upon thousands of years ago.
Exactly. And if we can just let our sponsors address that point for us for a moment, and then I want to come back and
Okay. Literally
more on the origin of the human race, so that we can finally also help heal many of our institutions that still are using the content of melanin in skin and hair and eyes as a divisatory device that has troubled this entire planet for thousands of years, that really now science can totally eradicate. But we'll be right back after this message, and I'd like you to speak to that, please. We'll be right back.
Would you like to be smarter, more at peace in your life, less stressed? Are you searching for a greater spiritual connection? If so, what you need is access to the 90% of your brain that most of us don't even use. All of this and much more can be yours by enrolling in Dr. Jewel's Balancing Program. Dr. Jewel's Balancing Program is a revolutionary program utilizing sacred geometry to connect the logical left and creative right sides of the brain to work with what we call whole brain functionality. Many participants feel effects from day one, and in no time you can enjoy the physiological effects equal to 8 hours of meditation in as little as 15 minutes a day. Act now to start on this life-changing program and become the person you always wanted to be. To learn more and sign up for Dr. Jewel's Balancing Program, please visit our website, www.thejewelnetwork.net. What are you waiting for? Make the move now.
Well, if you're just tuning in, welcome, and I really suggest very strongly that you make sure that you listen to this archive again. A wonderful event happening, and as a matter of fact, I don't know, Dr. Moore and Dr. Bynum, if you follow the Tzolk'in with the Mayan calendar, but this is a very auspicious time that we are now in, because we are literally flowing through the spine of the DNA of planet Earth, and the DNA portal, the galactic activation portals, are open for the next 10 days that are dealing with what? The past, present, and future. And so, so we just kicked that off, and look at what we're talking about, and who's come together to discuss this. So, you know, this is a very monumental recording that's being made here, and I want to encourage all of you to definitely come back and review what's been shared today. And this has been one of my campaigns, Dr. Bynum, and I really ask all of you, you know, the Jewel Network really recommends that you begin to cultivate the mind of a scientist. And so, therefore, our reading list, as you know, is extensive, and definitely you do want to invest in dark light consciousness offered by our guest tonight, Edward Bruce Bynum, as well as his African Unconscious. And Dr. Moore just cited just a couple more books, and we have them all hanging in the chat room that he's authored, as well as the many books of Dr. Moore, okay, and I really like The Spider and the Fly, so thank you. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what well, all counts. But going back to where we left off with Dr. Bynum, I think this is really important for us to really put this to bed as scientists, that at the level of our utilization and awareness of DNA, there is no such thing as race as far as the human genome. And that
That's
what
right.
we know for sure is the fact that the origin for the human species on planet Earth, as we know it, originated from the continent of Africa, very near the equator, from melanated DNA, which is still melanated, even though phenotypically changes, which I will constantly state and reiterate, and it appears as though you are with me, Dr. Bynum, that due to changes in states of consciousness, it totally changed the neurobiology and the physiochemistry of the human body, which now the phenotype is chronically depicting those changes in thought pattern and thought field. Is that correct?
Well, I would say this way. I would say that our origins as a species, clearly and unequivocally and are clearly out of Africa. All the DNA studies show that. All the blood studies show that. All the anthropological and paleological data show that. That's what all the bones show. Clearly, the human species comes out of Africa. And then as we migrate as a species to different parts of the earth, we explore different levels of our experience, different levels of consciousness, and we also adapt to different areas of the globe. And so those Africans who moved up into Europe, the surface of the bodies changed, they became thicker, there was more hair. These are all adaptive functions, and we did so with, as we migrated to other places on the planet. So, and in the process, it also changes one's one's group consciousness also. So these are all variations within the larger African template. So we all are the same race, but we've gone through different surface changes and adaptations and explorations and changes in our consciousness. And that's because we are still a species that is evolving. And undoubtedly, the form of the African who emerges out of the chaos of the present time will be a much more highly evolved creature than we are today. We are moving toward, you know, Homo Neanderthalensis, the spiritual being, the different form that will transcend what we are. We are not the final statement in that. So for me, evolution is an onward unfolding process. And our issue is how we're going to cooperate with something that is trying to emerge that is greater than we are.
Exactly. Well, but that nervous system is one of the main keys. That
yes, it is.
That nervous system is the key. And as I was sitting here looking at your book, Dark Light Consciousness, I was just recalling my neuroanatomy. This is on page 99, if any of you have the book out there. And I was like, okay. Four locations identified, maybe eight, but I've never seen totally listed and labeled 12 sites for the location of melanin in the human brain. So this is the ventricles, but also throughout the brainstem. Never in the brainstem have I seen that, but it makes so much sense to me when we look at the myriad of diseases that individuals are suffering with now, and this is a problem because there is minimal melanation that is present in those areas, and we've identified that that's part of the degeneration that has occurred.
Yes, and that degeneration, depending on where it occurs, produces on the surface of our experience different kinds of symptoms. Like as Dr. Moore was pointing out, in the negro striatal area, when there is a decrease the appropriate amount of neuromelanin, we get symptoms of Parkinson's disease, which results in a complicated and inhibited physical movement, lack of smoothness, and so on and so forth, and also apparently is related potentially to Alzheimer's, the more cognitive aspect of that. And also, so that's one side of that. On the other side of that, however, that I tried to point out in Dark Light Consciousness is when we're using different kinds of psycho-spiritual methods and techniques to quiet and optimally focus our nervous systems, that we become aware of subtle movements. We become aware of subtle movements within the earth itself, because that that the neuromelanin in critical areas monitors movement, and so we're able to detect the subtle movements not only on the surface of the earth, but within the center of the earth itself, which has a geodynamism that produces a spiraling-like effect of energy. And we can tap into that spiraling-like effect of energy and feel it moving all the way up, not only through the earth, but through our spinal line 7 times and out the top of our head. That is what all the imagery, iconography of the serpent is all over the earth. Even in classical traditional Western medicine, that figure has a pole on which 2 serpents are crossing 7 times. And those are where those critical endocrine glands are. And also in yoga, the plexis or chakras are called in that system. But the point is that in all the systems, it's 7 times, because we can pick that up when we're tuned into it. And all peoples can pick that up. That's not unique to African peoples. I mean, people in Europe, people in South America, people in India, people in China, that is what something that a human being tuned into can pick up on. And that is part of our inheritance. And, but no, when it's not working...
Can I ask a question, Dr. Moore, Dr. Bynum, since we're all scientists here and we work literally in the medical field, as you know, there's a real problem in medicine right now. One is that, you know, we're going through a 59,000-year shift energetically in our solar system, on planet Earth, within the Earth, et cetera. We have no medical records that substantiate what the tissues go through when there's a process like this happening, and therefore we're experiencing a lot of symptoms that literally are not able to be addressed or are being mislabeled. And so my question to both of you is, what do you envision we as scientists who have moved into this realm of more subtle anatomy, who are recognizing these very strong forces that definitely are constantly modulating and changing tissues, what kind of instrumentation, what kind of technology can we envision that must be created and institutionalized so that symptoms that are being exhibited in humanity at this time that really are originating from these more subtle energy fields that are disturbed, that they can be treated at that level, and literally the manipulation and the instrumentation of the physical body need not to occur to always result in not being able to find anything.
Yeah. I like to comment on that question and try to tie in things we've already discussed about this. I say intuitive technology is one way, and also the issue of how science is now using something called transcranial magnetic stimulation to alter people's behaviors. And that's
can you repeat that again, that technology?
Yeah. Well, the first one I was saying was intuitive technology. For those that are computer geeks, you know what I mean, they talk about IT, call IT to help out with your computer problem. Well, I'm saying intuitive technology because there's some people that don't pay attention to their bodies. We talk about this dynamic of a different consciousness right now. Okay, we may leave after this particular program, get in the car and drive, and everybody's looking straight ahead. No one's looking up anymore. In the past, our ancestors didn't have cars and distractions. They didn't have the radios and TVs. They were tuning into what? Themselves. So they had intuitive technology. They're in or on the continent where those 3 great pyramids were built, looking like the Orion Belt up in the sky. There are tunnel systems underneath those pyramids, which are now being discussed, but they've been hidden for so long, but people going into the earth to also get that energy. So I'm saying intuitive technology is one way. The other one is looking at technology data, something called transcranial magnetic stimulation. People are using magnets that can be put around the head in order to alter people's consciousness. Now, you know, from our ancestors and people who built the Stonehenge, and you just talked about the Mayan civilization. I really appreciate you reminding me that today is the last day in the month of the spectral moon. And as we are talking, trying to make this crystallize, the next moon is the what? Crystal moon.
That's right.
So we are starting off this, like you said, this wave, all these portals are opening. Here we are blasting this consciousness, making sure people understand. So I'm just saying intuitive knowledge can take us to a different level. I know, Dr. Bonner, you were saying about we'll be evolving. I think that we've devolved because we have now gotten ourselves into a position where we no longer, again, pay attention to the cosmos, which is spiritual, which has a certain level of energy that people neglect. And once we go back to IT, that is intuitive technology, we are going to be in trouble. So be careful with the TV and the radio.
I think that we've taken some missteps. I certainly agree with that, but I don't think it is a wholesale de-evolution. I think it's a side path that can be and will of necessity be corrected. I agree with you totally about the intuitive technologies, and a lot of it will be when we are figure out how to become healthier physically. Much of our bodies and nervous systems will re-resonate with the earth itself, and we will retune ourselves back into it. I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of physical instrumentation that's going to help that in the sense of whether we do surgery. But I do think the magnetic resonance work, where we use energy medicine, that's what the magnetic transcranial technologies are about. They're using the electromagnetic field, and sometimes just the magnetic field, to shift ever so slightly a certain kind of neural events, which in turn affect consciousness.
It's right.
And I think we're going to see more and more of that. And I think we're going to be, when we turn back and we see what some of the ancient physical methodologies were to our spiritual unfoldment, we'll recognize that these are clinical descriptions of phenomena that occur when we apply certain disciplines. And we'll recognize when our nervous system is off and when we're back on track. So I'm an optimist about this. And I do believe that of necessity we're going to be pulled back on the right track. And part of that is because so many people are dissatisfied. Look at us in the United States. We spend more money on physical medicine than the overwhelming majority of most other countries on the planet, and yet what are we getting for it? Not as good as many countries that spend a lot less. So there's got to be a fundamental rethinking, a new paradigm about how medicine works. And I do think it's on the horizon. I do think it's happening. Alternative medicine, complementary medicines, the integration of spiritual phenomena, spiritual methodologies with our classical medical interventions that work, both physical and psychological. I do believe in a clumsy way, perhaps, but we will do it. You mentioned that we're at the end of a cycle, of a 59,000-year cycle. I find it curious that at the end of cycles like this, and we've as a species have lived through four of them, there's always been some major revolution in our culture. There's always been some major revolution in our culture. And as you pointed out, Dr. Pookrum, we are moving into a different spatial part of our galaxy at this time. And so there are a lot of cosmic rays coming in that will have and definitely are having an effect upon our physical and psychological well-being. My own sense is that some of this is stimulating us right now, and we're having a resurgence of what's called, quote, religious fundamentalism. And I think part of that is that people are genuinely being stimulated spiritually, but don't have the methodologies to really focus that other than regressive, hostile, paranoid kinds of ways of thinking about it. You're the enemy, I'm good. Kinds of stuff, as opposed to recognizing that our spiritual energies are being stimulated as a species, and we have to find the right methodologies for integrating and focusing in that. So it's really a matter of resonance in many ways, I believe. And I'm an optimist. I do believe our spiritual methodologies from the earliest days of ancient Kemet and Dravidian India are going to be part of the massive restructuring of the way that we do science and medicine.
Oh, I agree. And really, again, understanding geometry is going to be a real key.
Yes.
In helping to restructure and reshape the nervous system and therefore the body.
Yes.
So interesting that what I'm recognizing is the fractality of geometry. And once I think scientists begin to accept the fact that cells are not just flat like we've seen them under light field microscope. Okay. They don't function like that. That
one of those
have a specific geometric shape,
yes,
or template, and from that they literally are constantly morphing and going through fractal geometric patterns to allow them to function, and they always return back to the template. And we need a technology that will allow us to see a multidimensional cell show us these little literal changes in its geometric shape and function, which Dr. Moore has really helped me to better understand by introducing me to the extensive work on the microtubule system and melanin. This is very important.
Well, we do have some of those technologies already available to us. Talking about sacred geometry, those so-called platonic shapes, he got them actually from Kemet in Egypt. But those shapes, when manipulated in meditative state and dream state, allows your consciousness to do certain kinds of things. It allows our consciousness to do certain kinds of things, those five fundamental shapes. And
yes,
if our listeners would follow the discipline of trying to allow themselves to become aware and self-aware while they're dreaming, and then begin to manipulate those shapes occasionally, you will find an enormous energy emerges into your consciousness that's undeniable. And that's a very empirical thing that you can do. And it has a profound effect on the way that we experience and perceive ourselves and our connectedness to the earth and the wider cosmos around us. And that is intimately connected, again, to our capacity to absorb light and transduce it, which is intimately connected to the neural melanin loom that we've been discussing this whole time.
Now, one of the things that, again, we have to go back to the clinical practice, because so much of the actual neural anatomy and physiology of the human body is only privy to certain groups of individuals who've endeavored to study this. The general population is literally very ignorant of many of the basic processes that go on to sustain their life. And what I know for sure is that sacred geometry enlivens tissue to such an extent that the nervous system literally is enabled to become aware of many of the physiological processes that happen in the cell through a sense of sensation. Now,
yes,
if you say that to the average internist and whatever else, et cetera, that a person can feel changes going on in their liver or sensations or whatever, that is going to be looked at as pathology, because in their minds, your perception of being able to be aware of metabolic states and activities in organs or, for example, even in our brain, many times the processes that we use within geometry, we can literally feel the neurons, the axons, literally disconnect and literally reconnect to different parts of the brain. We can literally feel that. Ask the average neurosurgeon, they're like, what? No. Okay? So
that's true.
Yeah. The general public, when exposing themselves to this type of technology, they do not have a support system that will coach them through the new awarenesses of their body and the activities that the body is executing, because they are themselves not aware of it. And
well,
so they don't have any, you know, idea to decide, well, that sensation is acceptable, this one isn't. this is what I'm saying is that, you know, when we're recommending that they take on these new projects, but yet still an environment that supports them through getting comfortable with the new awarenesses that they have in their body in that is systematically constructed, that large groups of people can access. This is what I'm saying.
I agree with you, and I believe that what, you know, what we need and what the humanity needs right now, quite frankly, is a good spokesman for this. You know, Jesus the Christ did all of his magnificent work when he was alive, but it would have, if it hadn't been for Paul, it would have been a minor cult that died out. Paul took the teachings and spread them, okay, along with the Desert Fathers. Well, in our age, I think that we would, if we had someone, and that I believe it'll come along, who is part of their movie making, or their music, did this, that people would turn on to it, because that's how you reach the large masses of people. And once people find out about it, they take to it. But they've got to be, people have to be exposed to it. But you get someone who makes this a major part of a major movie, you find people that'll get tuned into it. And it wouldn't be that difficult to do. And you can reach millions upon millions upon millions of people. I wrote Dark Light Consciousness, and I went to some lengths, obviously, to document everything. But it's not going to reach millions and millions of people until folks kind of get a sense of, well, this actually belongs to me. The sacred geometry, it's not about something that happened to somebody else a long time ago. It's about what goes on in my nervous system, in my body, right now.
Exactly. Well, you know, I think that that's a wonderful idea. We have people listening to you right now, Dr. Bynum, Dr. Moore, that are all over the world. They are writers, they are film producers, photographers, musicians, and so I think that it's fabulous that you probably have given them a genuine life purpose, okay, because I've seen this so many times that a lot of the just medical disorders, it would be great to be able to present them through music or present them in a, where the disease is lived out, the mode of therapy is identified, and then watch the person evolve. And this really, really needs to happen on many, many levels outside of just, you know, cancer and whatever else. And the idea that, you know, I just have to say this, that we know for a fact that human tissue is immortal. And therefore, that means that with a consciousness that would support a large collection of human cells known as the human body, then the body is literally immortal. And we need to really spend time on how to depict a life that is 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 800 years in duration. What does that look like? Now we have time to stop and smell the roses. Now we have time, like Dr. Moore says, our ancestors used to look up, okay, and they basically were not so rushed to having to contend with so many things that are in front of them on the ground, that they could spend the time really looking at the stars and allowing the brain to receive those high-frequency wavelengths and cosmic and radio waves so that they would know what the cosmos is doing. Most people have not been able to carve that kind of contemplation time into their lives, because they're all running on thinking that they only have X amount of time to live, which is totally erroneous when you begin to really understand that this body has unlimited capabilities, and that with a consciousness that is navigating a nervous system, neurotransmitters will allow the cells to access their own genetic library to be able to give instructions to the cells to carry out any command we could envision.
This is the future journey of our species, what you just outlined.
Yeah,
this
no
is
question.
The future journey of our species as we move from a densely packed species to a more luminous species. That is, I believe, our destiny. That is what evolution is pointing toward. That is what energy medicine is about. That is what every spiritual tradition says is what is down the road. And so I embrace that.
Well, wonderful. And so, Dr. Moore, we just have just a couple of minutes. Can you just wrap us up here? And, you know, I just want to say thank you, Dr. Bynum, for being here. This is a special, special day. Thank you, Dr. Moore. You're always in there with me. I just love you for that. And, Dr. Moore, can you just take us out?
As Fela said, music is the weapon of the future, and your master engineer, Maurice, has a program on music, so we can kick the knowledge and push it out that way. Also, that whole reality of us, again, being the next generation of scholars to push the information to the people, I appreciate Brother Bynum for the years. We have met you at Morehouse, we brought you down to Morehouse, we presented the Mountain Conference, and now here we are on the radio on the Mountainology Hour with Dr. Jewel Fuqua.
I love you all. Thank you so much. And make sure you come back and listen to this archive. Thank you so much, Dr. Bynum. I love you, Dr. Moore. Thank
Peace.
You to JN. Bye-bye, everybody.
www.thejewelnetwork.net. If you'd like to reach us, please send an email to info@thejewelnetwork.net.